Good evening. You're watching Left, Right and Centre. Queen Elizabeth II is being laid to rest presently after a state funeral, the first in Britain since the death of her first Prime Minister, Winston Churchill, in 1965. It's being attended by leaders from around the world and a historic last ceremonial journey is now nearing an end. The funeral will bring to an end 11 days of national mourning across the United Kingdom that has seen the personal sorrow of the royal family play out in the glare of intense international attention. More than 2,000 people, including heads of state from the United States, President Joe Biden, to Japan's reclusive emperor Naruhito, packed Westminster Abbey, whose 1,000-year history has been tied to royal coronations, marriages and funerals. There's a vast television audience which is watching the funeral worldwide. It's all live online as well. In a sign of the enduring fascination with the woman once described as the last global monarch, the Queen's coffin was carried on the same gun carriage used for her great-great-grandmother Queen Victoria's funeral. Huge crowds gathered in near silence to watch as the Queen's flag-draped coffin, topped with the Imperial State Crown, her orb and scepter, was carried slowly to a gun carriage from Parliament's Westminster Hall, where it was put in state since last Wednesday. The Queen's eldest son and successor, King Charles III, dressed in ceremonial military uniform, followed the solemn procession alongside his three siblings. After an hour-long procession that passed Buckingham Palace, the coffin was taken west by road to Windsor Castle, where thousands had lined the route since early morning. 6,000 military personnel have been drafted in to take part in the proceedings in what Britain's highest-ranking military officer called our last duty for Her Majesty the Queen.
Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Lord God Almighty, King of creation, bless our King and all members of the royal family. May godliness be their guidance. May sanctity be their strength. May peace on earth be the fruit of their labours, and their joy in heaven thine eternal gift, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. God save our gracious Sovereign, and all the companions living and departed of the most honourable and noble order of the Garter. Amen. As our Saviour has taught us, so we pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
Oh,
Elizabeth is being laid to rest today after a state funeral, the first in Britain since the death of her first Prime Minister, Winston Churchill, in 1965. It's being attended by leaders from around the world. The Queen's coffin was transferred by Royal Hearse to Windsor Castle, west of London, for a committal service. That's what you see over here. And once this ceremony is over, it's going to be followed by a family-only burial in which the Queen will be laid to rest alongside her late husband, Prince Philip, her parents and her sister. Queen Elizabeth reigned for 70 years and 214 days. The first British sovereign to celebrate a platinum jubilee. She died at the age of 96. Throughout the day, we've seen a solemn procession across the streets of London. The Queen's eldest son and successor, King Charles III, dressed in military uniform, a ceremonial military uniform, followed the solemn procession alongside his three siblings. After an hour-long procession that passed Buckingham Palace, the coffin was taken west by road to Windsor Castle, where thousands had lined the route since early this morning. As many as 6,000 military personnel were drafted in to take part in proceedings in what Britain's highest-ranking military officer called our last duty for Her Majesty the Queen. While leaders of the European Union, France, Japan and India and many other countries attended, those of Russia, Afghanistan, Myanmar, Syria and North Korea were not invited. Well, as we follow this very solemn ceremony, let's introduce our panelists this evening. Shruti Kapila, Professor of History at the University of Cambridge, joins us at this stage. Thank you, ma'am, very much for being with us. Nicholas Nugent, the former BBC editor, UK journalist. Andrew Whitehead joins us as well, as also Sriram Lakshman, foreign correspondent at The Hindu. Mr. Whitehead, let me come to you first. It's been unbelievably choreographed throughout the day. It's gone on absolutely perfectly. Could you give us a sense of the events of the day and how it's really brought a nation together, the United Kingdom?
Well, the pomp and pageantry, as you say, has been hugely impressive. Of course, this is an event which has been decades in the planning, and the Queen took an active role in the planning of her own funeral. So at the beginning of the day, the Queen was still lying in state at Westminster Hall, the 1,000-year-old building which is part of the Houses of Parliament. And over the past 4 or 5 days, several hundred thousand people have queued up to file past her coffin to pay respect, sometimes waiting in line for 8, 10, 12, 14 hours. Then her body, her coffin, was brought by procession with her children and other members of the royal family walking behind the procession from Westminster Hall to Westminster Abbey, where we had an hour-long funeral service with about 2,000 people present, including world leaders, President Biden, India's president, President Macron, and many others. And that was quite a moving and solemn occasion. Then there was another procession down towards Buckingham Palace, and her body was then brought by hearse to Windsor Castle, which is about 25 miles west of London. A further procession there, and another church service, which is what we're seeing now at St. George's Chapel in Windsor Castle, a committal service. And as you say, in an hour or two, there'll be the interment service, a private family event, where the coffin will be placed in the royal vault underneath the chapel.
Sure. Let me go quickly across to Mike Buckley, Director for the Independent Commission on the UK-EU Relations. Could you give us a sense of, what this means for the royalty in the United Kingdom? I ask this because every now and again there are editorials, there are articles where many believe that the monarchy is of a bygone era. It really needs to be replaced. It shouldn't be there at all. And yet there is this intense public love which exists, and we've seen evidence of that in the United Kingdom over the last several days. So has this, in a sense, brought together a country at a time when so many questions continue to be raised about the relevance of the monarchy?
I think it has brought the country together very much, and I think it's reminded us all just how much the Queen has meant to us. You know, over most of our lifetimes, I mean, the vast majority of us in the UK can't remember a time before the Queen was on the throne. And it has brought the UK together at a time when there've been, for a long time, political arguments over Brexit, over how to cope with the fuel crisis, how to cope with the cost of living crisis, where our place in the world is, and over different styles of government as well. So it's been a very sad and mournful time, and we will continue mourning the Queen, I'm sure, for some time to come. But I think it's also been a reminder for us as a nation what brings us together and what unites us. And in that sense, it's been almost a joyful time for the country.
Professor Kapila, I'm not sure this is the best time to be raising this, but I ask this because people are asking the questions once again. For example, there are calls from South Africa where certain jewels which were inherited from South Africa or taken from South Africa need to be returned. Then, of course, there's the entire issue of the Kohinoor in India. What are your thoughts on this?
Well, I think all said and done, I think this is a mixed moment for Britain's monarchy, because it has resurrected the question of the imperial legacy. And that is in the making for the last 4 or 5 years, but precisely because of Brexit, because Brexiteers really amped up the idea of England and Britain as a great nation which had an imperial past. And as a result, there's been a backlash. And, of course, questions of reparations have existed now in the public domain for about 3 or 4 years, but also in places like Oxford and Cambridge, colleges are, you know, holding inquiries what the relationship with their wealth and slavery might be. Mm-hmm. So there's a real open moment actually here, which we might not be seeing in these rather ceremonial images at the moment, stately images at the moment, but there's a huge amount of discussion going on in England, in Scotland, everywhere about empire, and it's not just out there in South Africa is what I mean.
Yep. Nicholas Nugent, I found it interesting that, you know, while we've spoken about a lot of the world leaders who are present in the United Kingdom today, Russia, Afghanistan, Myanmar, Syria, North Korea, not invited. Your thoughts on this? Perhaps expected, but clearly an indicator of where the United Kingdom or who the United Kingdom doesn't want to be seen with presently.
That's true indeed. They're telling us officially that all countries with which Britain has diplomatic relations have been invited. But even there are one or two exceptions, notably Russia and Belarus, because sanctions are in place for key leaders in both countries. So this is where you see foreign policy interfering with the ceremonial. So on the one hand, they wanted to open it to as many foreign leaders as possible, notably the royal foreign leaders, I should add, because this is essentially a royal occasion, but it's royals and heads of state, other heads of state. But those countries you listed, I think there's about six of them altogether, either because we don't have diplomatic relations or because of that sanctions, they haven't been invited. But even so, you can imagine it's quite a diplomatic challenge to have so many world leaders in at one time. And we have to think about the relations they have with each other. For example, Israel in the Middle East, who should sit next to who else? And I also might comment that the United Nations General Assembly is in session at the moment. And I think there are far more foreign leaders attending the royal funeral than there are at the UN. So just for this moment, Britain arguably is the spotlight for diplomatic intercourse, except, of course, there won't really be talks on matters other than the British royal succession.
Yeah. Sriram Lakshman, what about the Commonwealth? The fact that the Commonwealth was so close to Queen Elizabeth, that she'd worked so hard to ensure that it actually remains. And now you've got, for example, the Prime Minister of New Zealand saying that progressively, perhaps in her lifetime, New Zealand would move to becoming a republic. Cohesion of the Commonwealth, would that be challenged with Queen Elizabeth no longer alive?
I think it's certainly going to be a question, and you hear much more about the Commonwealth, in my experience, within when you're inside Britain than when you're not. And, the British monarch is also the head of state for 14 Commonwealth countries. And as you said, there are movements in some of these countries to break away from that. And some countries have already done so. I believe Jamaica is next. They're going to have a referendum in the next 3 months. So what you're observing in Britain is that younger people are less in favor of the monarchy than older people. And that's perhaps what you're also seeing in the other Commonwealth realms, as they're called, where the British monarch is the head of state. And it's only natural that with the passage of time, more and more questions will be raised as those generations that existed before the 1940s and 1950s pass on. You will find these questions are raised and there is a loosening of ties with Britain.
Right, Sriram, I'm going to end this as we just go across to the final events at this stage.